Welcome to the Hills Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us as we see Jesus glorified, lives transformed, and hope revealed in the Adelaide Hills and beyond. We hope you enjoy this message.
So, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31, and it's headed Unity and Diversity in the Body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not be for that reason that the foot would stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning. My name's Denby, for any of you who don't know me. This is the first time I've said this, and I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks for unpacking that a little bit for us, Ron, because I think that you said some things that I'm not going to say, so you've just actually been a wonderful part of the body for us this morning. As I've shared with you recently, church has been a big part of my whole life, and I've been involved in several churches, various churches in various different ways over all of my years. And in my conversations with you over the last few weeks, one of the topics, an easy topic of focus, has been how you came to be part of this church, because it's a context that we share now. How long have you been here? What brought you here? What keeps you here? And as you can imagine, the answers to the first two questions are as diverse as the people who are here. But the third question, what keeps you here, it's very often the same, the answer to that question, and we'll get to that later. Some of you have been here for multiple decades, and some of us can count on two hands, or maybe even one, the number of Sundays that we have been here. And firstly, I wanted to say to you, for as much of your story that you've already shared with me, thank you. Because it's a privilege to be invited into people's stories, and I love hearing people's stories. And if I ask you a question about your story, and I say this with all sincerity, I am very happy to hear the long version. So last week we looked at the question, what is a pastor? And I don't know, you don't have to raise your hand, but as Nick was unpacking that for us, was anyone here just kind of thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that he's not talking to me? Well, today we're looking at an even bigger question, and it's one that, excitingly, no one who's a follower of Jesus gets to opt out of. And that question is this: what is the church? And it's a big question, and we're talking, you know, we have all these questions about, you know, do I have to go to church, and is it a church with a big C or a little C? And there's so many things, and I don't think I can do all the things today. But before I get started, I'm going to pray, because once I get started, I might have trouble stopping. So let's invite the Holy Spirit here this morning to open our minds. Father, we thank you that we can come before you and call you our Father. We thank you that you sent Jesus in a bodily form so that we could understand more of who you are. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who reminds us of the things that Jesus said and who teaches us. And I pray this morning, as we look at who we are, your church, that you would help us to understand more of how we can be part of what you created us to be. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dive in. What is the church? It's huge. Jonty and I this week have been going back and forth like crazy people, going, how do we put all of this? And what about this? And so I'm going to do my best to sum it up today. Now, the best place to find the answer to this question is, of course, in the Bible. Well, the church too. Hopefully we're looking at the Bible here at church. And one really helpful way to approach the Bible is as a whole story, understanding what part of the story we're in now and therefore what part we have to play in the story. So I want us to start with a really super zoomed out, broad look at God's story. And the story starts like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Best start to a story ever, right? It's a pretty good start. But I think I love even more the way that John 1 puts it. And if you have your Bibles here this morning, I do invite you to open John 1. Turn with me there so that we can have a look at that together as I read it for you and with you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we have a story that starts with creation. We read an account of God through Jesus, the Word, creating all things from nothing. Stars and planets, seas and sky, land and vegetation, all creatures, great and small, and the pièce de résistance, humans. Male and female, made in the image of God, life infused by the breath of God, and perfectly placed in a garden, in his perfect creation where he dwelt with them. But then in Genesis 3 tells a story that of the fall, of creation coming under the curse of sin and death and separation between God and humans. Our recent series in Exodus moved us along in the story, a call to consecration. Consecration to what? So that what? So that God could again dwell with his people in his creation the way that he'd originally intended to do so, but it was a veiled and limited interaction, a shadow of its former existence, and marked by imperfection. Humankind's inability to fulfill the law and the curse of sin and death continued throughout the Old Testament, showing all of creation groaning, longing, yearning, waiting for, and all of Scripture pointing toward recreation, to a promised Saviour who would come to redeem and restore it, to redeem and restore us. And he did. He came. We just sang about it. In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. Or as the Gospel of John puts it, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In his mercy, Jesus came running, physically dwelt among us, and died a criminal's death on a cross, which we just recently reflected on Good Friday, quite powerfully, if I say myself. But I'd like to say to us to pay a particular attention to the second verse of this song, because we sometimes look at Jesus' death on the cross as being only to save us from our sins, which it absolutely and fully did and does. But the full story, the fullness of Jesus' mission was this: to reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. So salvation, yes, but also redeeming the whole of creation, revealing and ushering in a new kingdom. Verse 3, resurrection. Jesus conquers death. And then we skip into verse 4. And it says, and the church of Christ was born. Hello, church! Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old, what does gospel mean? It means good news. That's right. The good news of what? The good news that a new king has come and a new kingdom is being established, and we're all invited to be part of it. This is good news. So this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom, I am free for the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Hallelujah. All this serves to show us where we are in the story now. And in this part of the story, the church, built by Jesus himself, Matthew 16:18, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, plays a significant role. In fact, it is the vehicle by which now God is now continuing his redemptive work and mission in the world, which is to completely redeem and restore his creation, including humanity, to himself. One day Christ will return, just as he promised, establish a perfected new heaven and new earth, and we will be united with him, and he will dwell once and for all eternity among us. And that's the big picture. So with all of this in mind, then, what is the church? When we read the word church in the New Testament translations, the word used in the original Greek is ekklesia, which means a congregation or assembly. So right off the bat, we're to understand that the church is not a building. The church is a people group. The church is us. But there's something about a congregation of God's people that makes it distinct from any other group that we might come across. So it might be helpful to point out some of the other things that the church is not. The church is not a social club. although it very much is very relational, because God is relational. In his very nature, God is a community. He's triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so his church is to be a community too. But it does not exist just for the sake of our social life. The church is not a healing centre. I don't know if that makes some of you feel uncomfortable. Although we can and do find healing by being part of the church, that is not its primary purpose. And I'll come back to this in a minute. Next, the church is not a humanitarian aid organisation. Although by its nature and because of who its king is, it very much acts for the good of people, standing up for justice and seeking and pursuing peace and flourishing. But it is, at its core, different to something like a Rotary Club or a Lions Club. The church is not a restaurant. And although it does feed us, both spiritually and sometimes at things like Alpha, even physically, it does not exist for us to engage with only as consumers, picking and choosing parts of it and ordering only the things on the menu that we like. And finally, the church is not a choose-your-own-adventure book. Although it is part of a great adventure and we do get to choose which kingdom that we will live for, we're not the ones who determine the destination. Last week, Nick said that pastors are people too, only more so. And I'd like to borrow his idea and say that the church is a people group or a gathering or a community too, only more so. And the more is this. In John chapters 14 to 17, we read a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. It was the last time that he was together with them before his journey toward the cross, and he told them some key things. Well, it was all key because everything that Jesus says is key, but for the purpose of today's message, I'm going to focus on these key things. John 14:12, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." And I wonder how the disciples felt when they heard Jesus say that, because they've seen him do some pretty amazing things. And when I read it, I think, greater things. Oh, how do we do that? And then in John 14, 21 and 22, he says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And it's an interesting question, isn't it? I hadn't actually noticed it with significance before, but I think it might have something to do with us. And in John 14:26, he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit from the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then in 15, 26 and 27, he says, "When the Advocate comes, he will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning." Jesus then goes on to pray for his disciples and also for us, which is kind of cool, really. In John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, he says, "My prayer is not for them, the disciples, alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus is telling them what the plan is, and he answers Judas's earlier question here. This is how he intends to show himself to the world, through the unity of the people who believe in him. and they'll do it with the help of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. This is then reiterated in Jesus' words in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, what we often call the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the commission. This is the purpose of the church and what we are meant to do. But what are they to do before they go into the world and do the thing? In Acts 1, 4 and 5, he tells them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 8 he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is going to the Father. He's accomplished the mission he had in taking on a human body. And what was limited by Jesus' one physical body to a particular time and space is now to grow to hundreds, to thousands, and eventually millions and millions of human bodies testifying about and revealing who he is throughout the earth to the end of the age. He specifically tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want them to try and do it on their own. God's presence, power, and equipping through the Holy Spirit is the thing that will mark and identify them. And eventually, to identify us as different, as set apart from every other human social construct or community. This is the church. We are a community, but more so, we are a Holy Spirit-fueled movement. It's his idea. It's not a sum of all our good ideas, just thinking, oh, what's the best? What do you think? How do you think we should do this? And as such, the church is to govern all of its life by the word, as it's led and taught by the Spirit. In doing this, we need to listen to his teaching and follow his leading. But all this still feels somewhat big picture, perhaps a bit out there. And I feel like we need to zoom right in and take a look at what it means for us at Hills Baptist Aldgate. So we're going to start zooming in. Scripture provides us with a number of images or pictures of the church that help us understand our identity broadly or globally, and then move in, seeing us on a more familiar or local level. We're going to look briefly at three of them and then dive deeper into the third one, and we're going to do something fun with that. The first picture is the church as the bride of Christ. The image is referenced in Ephesians 5, where it speaks about the sacrificial love of husbands toward their wives in the same way that Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her to make her holy, so as to present her to himself as radiant, without stain or blemish. And then in Revelation 19, we're invited into a vision of heaven, where there are sounds like a great multitude shouting, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb," that's Jesus, "has come, and his bride," God's people, the church, "has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." And scripture tells us that the fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. This powerful image beautifully depicts us as Christ's sanctifying work in preparing his people, the capital C global kind of church that we talk about, for the final consummation of his kingdom, restoration and reign. This is what the big picture points to, this kind of image. The next image we find in Paul's letters, and it is of the church as the temple of God. For we both individually and corporately are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 13:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." And in 1 Peter 2 we read, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus." And then in Ephesians 2, "In him, Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So the physical earthly temple building has come to an end through Christ, and we instead, both individually, yes, but in this context together, now host the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And this adds weight to our gathering together, does it not? For it is as we are gathered that we encounter and host his presence. Earlier I stated that the church is not a healing centre. I expand on this statement now, that while it's not the primary focus of our mission as the church, as we encounter God's Spirit dwelling among us, the outworking of that most definitely includes God's healing and restoration work. In fact, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit that we'll be talking about soon. And so, church, with such an incredible promise, let's not neglect gathering. I love that you're all here today. Thank you. Let's keep it up. Show up and come expectant of what God might do in our midst as we join together for worship and prayer and studying the word together. And then our final picture is the church as a body, made up of many parts, each having a unique and important function. This body is put together by God. There are many scriptural references to the church being a body. Ron read to us from 1 Corinthians 12, but we also read about it in Romans, Colossians, and Ephesians. And I think it's a pretty tangible and particularly tangible image, because we live our lives embodied. We know what it's like to move around in this world as a body. Some of us know what it feels like when all the parts function as they should in health and strength. For some of us, that's a distant memory now. And for others of us, perhaps this is something that we've only ever observed in others. Some of us were born with bodies that carry brokenness. And most of us, at one time or another, have walked seasons of sickness or perhaps acquired brokenness along the way. So yes, we know all too well what an embodied life feels and looks like. Jesus does too. And perhaps this is why a body is such a prevalent picture image of the church, because it is so relatable. But our combined church body, as described in Scripture, is painted with hope, with delight, and with belonging. It's a body in which every single one of us has a role, a purpose, and a place. Each of us is important and vital to the wholeness, functioning, and flourishing of the body, and without us, without you, the body is less, incomplete. Most of the passages which talk about the church as a body, the body of Christ, also tell us that the Spirit gives each of us gifts, and that it is as we use these gifts that the body walks out its purpose and ministry. So it would stand to reason that the best way to equip the body for ministry is for us to discover and utilize our spiritual gifts. And we do that together. this is a safe place where we actually get to identify those gifts and to practice using them and to strengthen them. And we can do that with each other. And no, we don't get to choose what part of the body we are. Or the gifts that we're given. We don't get to choose the people who are in our local body. But we do get to choose love, which is what Paul goes on to talk about in 1 Corinthians 13. Not in our own strength, but empowered by the Holy Spirit and demonstrated by using our gifts, because love is embodied. Now, I told you we were going to do something fun with this image, and so we are. I'd love you to join in with me. I invite you to look under your chair or perhaps under a chair around you. We need to have someone, if we need to have someone with the pipe cleaners. All the pipe cleaners need to be used. Actually, do you know what? They're all the parts are important. This is what we know in the body. But to those who have pipe cleaners, you're up first. And I need to put my mic in the stand here so that I can demonstrate to you what we're doing. Now, this is the most difficult step in the process, pipe cleaner people. But I have faith in you. I know that with the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can complete this task using the gift that He has given you. What you're going to do is line up these three pipe cleaners and kind of pinch them in the middle. I hope yours haven't been bent yet. And you're going to do three kind of really tight twists just there. So you end up hopefully with something that kind of looks like this. Okay, and then with your pipe cleaners, I wonder if you can make two of them stand up, point up to the ceiling, and two of them go downward. Oh, you don't have any gifts over there. There are some pipe cleaners underneath the seat. Please feel free to grab some out. Once you've done this part, pipe cleaner people, your work's done. Some of us are given gifts that seem big and tricky. And the thing with the gift of the Spirit is that we don't get to choose which one we're given. But remember that His power is made perfect in weakness. In fact, we're not meant to use the gifts that He's given us on our own, in our own strength anyway. So we can step out in faith and practice using our gifts and receive power from Him to do what He Himself has gifted us to do. And together with the body is where we get to do that. Apostles and stewards of difficult and big gifts, we need you. Thank you for bringing your valuable part to the body. Now, can you pass your pipe cleaners on to someone who has a little packet that has an H on it? It should have a wooden bead inside. Can you find a packet with an H for your body and pass your pipe cleaners to that person? It should now, your pipe cleaner should be looking like this. We've got two sticking up and two sticking down. Has everyone got a head for their body? What you're going to do, wooden bead people, is take your wooden bead and put those two that are sticking up. You're going to slide your wooden bead over that and just push it all the way down. Colossians 1:17-18 tells us, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. This one's actually written on the next slide. So that in everything He might have supremacy. Christ is the head of the body, and so as I said earlier, in all things, the church is governed by the living word, who is Christ, being led and taught by the Spirit. Members of the body who listen to the Spirit and point us to Jesus, we need you. Thank you for bringing your valuable part to the body. Now, could you pass your body on to someone who has a T written on their little envelope? Inside your envelope, you should have three small coloured beads. Can you... The people who have the three small colour beads, you're going to take your body and you're going to flip it upside down. Don't put your beads on the same side as the head. Can you take those two that are sticking up the top and slide your three beads over both of those pipe cleaner pieces? One, and then the next one. Two. Three. I'm going to get there eventually. It's all right. Can be tricky using our gifts sometimes. The beads make up the torso of the body, and this area contains many organs that are vital to the function of the body. A diversity of systems are housed here, from the digestive system, which gives us nourishment, to the respiratory system, which gives us breath, to the endocrine system, which controls our hormones, to the cardiovascular system, that is our lifeblood, to the immune system, that gives us protection, and so many more that I can't list. But there is a list of the spiritual gifts. If you flick over two slides now, it really highlights the diversity of the gifts of that the Spirit imparts. Many of the torso gifts are honed and deepened in hidden and unseen places. Things like intercession, prophecy, worship, faith, wisdom, and discernment spring to mind. And their fruit brings life and health to the body. Internal organs, we need you. Thank you for the part, bringing your valuable part to the body. And now I wonder, there should be a few people in our congregation who have L's on their packets. There should be more than others. There are four L's for each body. The L stands for limb. And you're each going to make one of the limbs of your body. I'm going to show you how. You have a straw, a bead, and a straw to make up a limb. Each of the limbs is made the same way. It doesn't matter if it's an arm or a leg. Straw, bead, straw. And then with that little bit of pipe cleaner that's sticking out the end, either for a hand or a feet or a foot, you can just turn that around and stick the bottom bit up into there to make a hand or a foot. That's your limb, and then you can pass it on to someone else who can make the next limb. They're quite a social bunch, our limbs. If you need any extra limbs, I have some limbs up here if anyone's missing a straw bead straw combo. Lots of chatter with the limbs. The limbs are the parts that carry the body into the world and minister the Spirit's practical help, both to the body and to the world around it. The sort of gifts we might think of here are pastoral care, making meals for others in the body or in our community, administration, helps, things like maintenance or transport, creation care, hospitality, making us coffee, thank you, welcoming, doing dishes, making our spaces look beautiful. Maybe serving at the Mary Magdalene dinner that we have coming up next weekend, or at Alpha. And the list goes on. Hands and feet, we need you. Thank you for bringing your valuable part to the body. Now, the last lot of gifts that we have out here we're looking at today. Some of you might have found a marker under your chair. You? get to draw eyes and a little mouth on your body. Maybe even style the hair up a little bit. I'm going to go for curly. Thank you to people with the markers. You've added eyes and mouth to our body, and we can include ears here too. The gifts represented here are things like encouragement, mentoring, also some elements of pastoral care, listening to others, praying with them, visiting the sick or imprisoned, evangelism, teaching, kids ministry, advocacy, maybe some of these gifts, words of knowledge, speaking in and interpreting tongues, to name just a few. Eyes, ears and mouths, we need you. Thank you for bringing your valuable part to the body. Now this completes our bodies that we're building today. Can I see some of these bodies that we've made? Oh my gosh, they're so cool. One part of the body over there is suffering. We might need a limb over there. Of course, this only scratches the surface of how the church functions as God's agent for kingdom change and restoration in the world. But I hope it stirs in you excitement for what the Holy Spirit might be gifting you to contribute to our church body. Perhaps you're already serving in your area of gifting, and so for you, I pray for a refilling, a renewed Holy Spirit empowerment as you continue to serve. But as I wrap up, I'd also like to speak to those of you who might be feeling weary or unsure of what their gift is, maybe burnt out, or perhaps walking in a season of brokenness. Hear me. You're allowed to be messy here. May I suggest that these can be gifts to the body too? This week, Matt mostly and I in a supporting role coordinated and attended the funeral of his mum. Some of the members of this body, those who are aware, supported us by listening to our story, by praying with and for us, and some attended the funeral in support of us. They'd never met Matt's mum, and a part of me felt guilty that they had somehow wasted their time on us. And I've been reflecting on that a lot. Because for many of us, it's very easy to, even leaning on our own strength, but particularly leaning into the Holy Spirit's power to serve others and use our gifts in that way. But I think it can be quite hard for us to receive God's love through the body of Christ. In Mark 14, Jesus, who came to serve, received a lavish act of love. I'm speaking of the woman who brought the alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' head. The one who came to serve us showed us that there is also a time to receive, and that the receiving allows others to use their gifts. My friends, if we're a body that is to operate fully, may we also learn how, in a safe way, prompted by the Spirit, to offer our brokenness and doing so receive the gifts of others too. For this is also how the church, the body of Christ, our body, grows together and grows strong. This is what shows the world around us our love and unity, fully embodying and participating in the restoration work of God's kingdom that Jesus has invited us into. And I think that that's some of what the church is. Let's pray to finish up. Lord, we thank you for your big idea of the church. We thank you for letting us be part of it, wanting us to be part of it. And we thank you for bringing us to be part of this body here. I pray that for those of us who are perhaps a little bit broken today, that we would find a safe place to bring that brokenness, and that those of us who have gifts to minister in that area would step up to be able to share our gifts. I pray for others who are really excited to serve you, that you would continue to fill them over and over and over again with your power to impart the restoration, joy, healing work that you bring. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a functioning body that really does demonstrate your love and unity to those around us, to the world around us that is looking for something that is better than a social club. And Lord, we look forward to seeing how you'll use our body to serve and glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hills Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to partner with us in developing and equipping passionate disciples who love God, love people, and boldly share the gospel, you can do that at hillsbaptist.com/giving. We pray this message has empowered you to live and love more like Jesus. Have an amazing day.